This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. We'll have updates from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. The National Weather Service Grand Forks office is calling for near critical fire risk for the next 2 days. By tomorrow, temps will be running 20 to 25 degrees above average. Relative humidity levels will be very low. With ongoing dry conditions, the fire concerns are heightened. A cold front at the end of the week will bring highs back to the upper 50s and into the 60s. As of yesterday afternoon, the Elkhorn Fire near Grassy Butte is 50% contained. Over 28,000 acres have been affected. The Bear Den Fire at Mandaree, only 30% contained, some 12,000 acres lost. The fire that includes Ray, Tioga, and Alamo, those areas covered nearly 90,000 acres. The fire is 99% contained, but flare-ups remain an issue. The heat we're seeing has shut down the sugar beet harvest for American Crystal Sugar Company. Agronomy manager Travis Peterson says the crews have a couple of days to rest up before going back at it.
Looks like it's going to be a little bit of an extended shutdown here. Our best guess now looking at the forecast is to resume harvest Friday night. Looks like the most likely restart again. We've had, the weather has cooled off in the evenings, and a few daytime highs have been, within our policy of where we like to store beets. And so we've been fortunate that way where we've had runtime. We're around 40% done with our, between pre-pile and stockpile harvest up to this point.
The sugar beet crop is increasing in quality with the dry conditions.
With the dry conditions and warm conditions over the last few weeks, we've really seen an uptick of the quality or the sugar content, which is to be expected. So nice numbers coming back that way. And tonnage too, with the rain we had during the growing season, even with the dry down here, we saw the growth through the months of July and August. And so, seeing numbers in the low to mid 30s for tonnage. With the nice conditions, crew-wise, we're sitting good. And just, for people to stay safe on the road with the additional traffic when we do get going again. And hopefully we can finish this thing out when the weather cools down.
Certainly predicting crop prices is not easy. NDSU crop economist Frayne Olson says many farmers tend to focus on supply-side issue, which can be overwhelming.
They're all relevant. They're all important. The problem is there's like seven or eight of them, and they're all moving at the same time, and sometimes they move in opposite directions. The problem from the farmer's perspective is to try and weed through and say, well, is that really important, or is that something that's interesting but is not going to have an impact? And the one thing to me, the solid number that we know is when we actually sell some grain. It's all well and good to talk about rumors and possibilities and what ifs, but when we make a sale, that's a sale, and we know that that has happened, and that's confirmation about what's happening.
Olson advisors paying attention to demand and sales as a way to determine short-term price direction.
If you're looking for one quick signal, even though there's a lot of moving parts in the global market, the one signal that I usually use as a quick reference point is, so are we competitive with our exports? Have we been selling our products? Have we been selling corn into the global markets? Have we been selling soybeans in the global market? Have we been selling wheat into the global market? And if we have, that means that we are competitive and that we do have a kind of an underlying base here that we can work from. If we're not getting those sales, then I get worried, because that means that we're too high priced in the global markets and the customers are going someplace else.
The corn and soybean futures are trading higher in the overnight trade. University of Minnesota Extension economist Ed Ussett is advising farmers to sell into these type of rallies. He's firm in his convictions about that recommendation.
Don't do it in permanent ink, but tattoo sell rallies on your backside and keep that in mind in the months ahead.
During a White House event, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced three different initiatives to improve competition and fairness in ag markets. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue praised the administration for what he called a thoughtful and proactive approach to the issues. One proposal calls for the end of the use of alternative marketing arrangements and pushing that cash cattle market to be the primary vehicle. Meat Institute President and CEO Juliana Potts said the Ag Department is picking winners and losers by moving back in time. Potts emphasized these marketing arrangements reward producers who invest in their operations. Hurricane Milton has strengthened back to a Category 5. Forecasters expect the storm to weaken slightly before it makes landfall, but it will double in size. Winds could reach 140 miles per hour with a surge close to 15 feet. Milton should make landfall tonight. It could be one of the most destructive storms on record. There are fertilizer plants in the path of that storm, and it could have a widespread impact. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer, Josh Linville, says there isn't much for farmers to do but wait and see how bad the damage is from Hurricane Milton.
Just a matter of what level of bad is it going to be. So hopefully the storm will not quite be as strong as they're indicating when it does reach land. But unfortunately, a lot of the indications are showing that's going to be the case. And then, the fall season, you know, for most of the Midwest, November 1 is go time. That's application time. And we are kind of in the envelope where even if we want to call in more tons from the rest of the world, it's too late. If you load a ship right now into the U.S., it does not reach our shores for 30 days for most points out there. And then you've got to get it from the shores to inland to the farmer. That's still the 30 days. You do that math. We're talking December.
According to Linville, the timing could not be worse for the fertilizer market.
The phosphate market was already tightly supplied. Globally speaking, we have been watching two major events that have unfortunately been playing out as we kind of expected them to. Number one is China. Historically speaking, they are the largest exporter of phosphate in the world, and they've been scaling back on those export flows and look like they're going to continue to do so through the last quarter of the 2024. Number two is India. They are historically the biggest buyer of phosphate. Maybe not the biggest consumer, but they are the biggest buyer of tons from the international market. Their stockpiles got down to dangerously low levels. So the biggest buyer in the world is all of a sudden now having to rebuild stockpiles. They're now having to play catch-up. So your biggest exporter is scaling back. Your biggest importer is ramping up. That's a dangerous 1-2 situation.
South Dakota's Referred Law 21 will come up for a vote in the November election. This proposal covers the regulation of carbon dioxide pipelines, the referendum in Senate Bill 201. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Referred Law 21 is an important issue not just for South Dakota landowners to consider, but all voters. South Dakota Corn Executive Director Danita Murray says the benefits of Senate Bill 201 and RL 21 are numerous for both corn growers and the environment.
Far be it from corn growers to walk away from demand for our product, but I think that there's a broad spectrum of folks that might be interested in this. From those that are perhaps interested in sequestering carbon so that, there are fewer greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, to those who, again, are interested in, you know, helping to ensure that some of the federal tax credit that moving out the door from Washington, D.C., from the Inflation Reduction Act, they're being spent out of Washington, D.C., that so long as that's occurring, that some of that occur not just, you know, here in the United States where we want to prioritize domestic energy, but here in South Dakota.
Murray says the big takeaway for voters should be that Referred Law 21 in no way involves the issue of eminent domain.
One of the big points that we've been making for folks who are undecided, who may or may not be property owners, but you know, our voters nonetheless, is I think there's a misconception out there that folks who are opposed to the pipeline have been super clever about, and that is there is no tie between eminent domain and Senate Bill 201, meaning voting yes for Law 21, literally no impact on whether or not eminent domain is going to be used in South Dakota for the CO2 pipeline. That is not the question that is in front of anyone when they're trying to decide whether to support the bill that got passed during the legislature, you know, last session. So I think there's some misconceptions out there, and that's the biggest one that we hope to provide some clarity on.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
During a White House meeting on competition in agriculture, National Corn Grower Association President Kenneth Hartman Jr. said farmers are dealing with a difficult economy. Hartman called on the Biden administration and Congress to take action on tax credits to expand the market for ethanol and sustainable aviation fuels. Hartman also spoke about the importance of the Farm Bill. And in that meeting with at the White House, Ag Secretary Vilsack outlined ways to address competition in the seed and farm input business. The goal is to increase transparency and improve researcher access to seed germplasm. National 4-H Week continues. There's many different events going on across the region. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
Ramsey County 4-H has many different activities that they put on throughout the week for National 4-H Week. Family and Community Wellness Extension Agent Sarah Lady is excited to help the 4-H'ers host a variety of events.
We are super excited for National 4-H Week. It's October 6th through the 12th. And this year's theme is Beyond Ready, Building a Ready Generation in a World of Change. Here in Ramsey County, we have a lot of fun going on. We're going to be celebrating in numerous ways. We always kick off 4-H Week with a pancake breakfast. Our 4-H'ers, they love to serve pancakes and sausage, eggs, fruit, and all the fixings to the community. And we also have some fun on social media, and we have trivia.
Lady says there is something for everyone in 4-H.
We're just kind of getting into the club season where our clubs are meeting. We have 9 pretty active clubs here in Ramsey County, and our kids enjoy doing projects. They do service learning at their meetings, learn parliamentary procedure. They go on tours. So many things. So for those kids that, you know, there's something for everybody, you know, whether it's science, technology, math, crafts, whatever it might be, there's something for everybody. And they like to hang out with their friends, too. It's a great way to connect and meet new people.
Coverage for National 4-H Week is brought to you by Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, the Dinner Bell Creamery, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
The California State Senate will not take up a proposal to speed up that state's move to a 15% ethanol blend, a bill that would have required the California Air Resources Board to expedite its review in a move from 10% to 15% ethanol, passed the Senate Assembly. However, a key committee refused to hear the bill during the current special legislative session. That issue will now wait until California's next legislative session. Checking in on markets, we are a little bit higher this morning, 7.5 higher actually for the December Minneapolis wheat at 652.5. Chicago wheat, December, an 8.5 cent gain. Hard red winter wheat, same contract, 8.75 higher. New crop corn, 2.25 higher at 423, and new crop soybeans, 4 cents higher at 1020.25. We are seeing soybean meal higher this morning, soybean oil a little bit weaker. As we check in on the farm calendar, the 18th annual UAS Summit and Expo is going on in Grand Forks. That's taking place at the Alaris Center. And the Minnesota Beef Expo coming up Thursday of next week and continuing through the 20th on Sunday. That's taking place at the State Fairgrounds in the Twin Cities. Have a great Wednesday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.